I'd like for us this morning to look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And let us read from verse 13. I'd like to remind you that every word that we'll read this morning is a word that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Every word that we read. With one exception. I just glanced down, verse 14 was not spoken by the Lord. Verse 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They treated him with contempt. They laughed at him. They scoffed at the very idea of him making such a statement. So he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, or Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." And so we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence, having read the Word of God. It's the desire of our hearts that the Spirit of God would act mightily in our midst and take the word that we've read and feel at home to each of our heart's need. O gracious Father, we have a desire in our hearts that men would come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. We know that what he has spoken is true. We would pray this morning, Lord, one person in this room that does not personally and confidently know that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they might make that decision today, prompted by the Spirit of God, brought on conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. We thank thee for the word that we've read. It's a stirring word, Lord. It's one that challenges the heart. Lord, these things are not popular among people today. The Pharisees in the day of our Lord, they derided him. They laughed at him. They scoffed at the very idea that anything he said was of any value. Oh, our God, we would pray as we think about these things this morning that we will value them very highly. And we will ask your blessing upon it. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. I read these early verses beginning at verse 13 because there is a connection between the response of Pharisees, and these are people that are very religious. These are religious people. They would be quick to tell you that they were religious. They like to be recognized as religious people. They like to pray on the street corners, getting the attention of people. Anything they did, they liked to be recognized for it. You'd have to think that perhaps they had some ulterior motive in desiring all of this attention. But our Lord knew the heart of every person that he ever spoke to. And I hasten to say this morning, he knows my heart and he knows your heart too. We're an open book before the Lord. Some people think they're so clever in hiding what they really feel in their heart. Well, we may hide it from each other, but you can't hide it from him. I say that because I think that kind of deception reminds us of how deceitful the human heart really is. I've always kind of objected to the idea of give your heart to Jesus. I don't think he wants that old heart of yours. It's deceitful. He wants you to accept him into your heart. He wants you to have new life. He wants you to have a clean heart, a pure heart. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one that can ever bring that about in your life and in my life. So think about that. The condition of the Pharisees. Don't let it get hold of us. They desired to be recognized. They wanted recognition. They wanted sometime a prominent place. And they rejected the Son of God, which indeed is something that when we think about it, they had certainly been deceived by the God of this world. Religion can be such a deceptive thing. This passage that I've read about the rich man and Lazarus, I remember a brother that did a lot of preaching in this area. He'd been on this platform. He told the story of a place that he attended quite frequently and preached, and he used this passage. And having used this passage, he was approached after the meeting, my brother in the meeting, and he said, I hope you never use that passage again. He said, why? He said, it upsets my wife. My wife is disturbed when she hears this sort of thing. She does not believe that our God, who is a God of love, would ever administer or be a part of what you've just read about this poor man being in torment. Do you know that in just looking at this time and getting ready to make some comments to you this morning, this is what I read. It says, there is a movement today, a strong movement today. It abounds that rejects any account in the Word of God that deals with the Lord taking the steps. Eternal punishment for those that reject the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. Are you aware of that? Do you sense that in talking to people? I think our friends, the Southern Baptists, have taken a position regarding what's happening in our public schools. They know for sure the public school system may declare we're neutral in all of those areas governing, speaking about religion and spiritual things. But the Southern Baptists have recognized something that all of us must know. There is especially a hostility toward Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and talking about the Word of God. We have to be mindful of these things. And those that take a position that would favor such steps, they don't like to hear people talk about it. They don't like it to be made known that indeed a position has been taken that would not favor what Christian people today favor, and that's the preaching of the Word of God, the telling forth of a message. Brother reminded me yesterday, when we have storms, you can't turn the television on, you can't turn your radio on, you pick up your newspaper, and you are forewarned and told what's coming may be devastating. Great harm might be carried out. People may lose their lives. Warnings are given. This brother told about a bridge being out. And they forgot. They forgot to put up a warning sign. It was during the night, and they didn't put a warning sign then. Some people came down that road, and all the lights were off and everything. They were blinded, and they lost their lives. We appreciate all of those warnings that are given regarding sometimes these disasters that happen as a result of weather changes and all of that sort of thing. My, if you've ever been in one of those hurricanes, if you've ever been where that wind is blowing 100 miles per hour, it's a little frightening. It can knock you down. You can hardly stand up in that kind of thing. We'll have any problem in issuing warnings like that, but something that is as important as this is, the difference between spending eternity in heaven, if you believe in heaven, the dwelling place of God, and spending eternity in torment, we'll read, we'll have to tell the whole story, we'll read about a place that is yet to come. It would be at least 1,007 years in the future, and that is Gehenna, the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Why aren't more warnings going up in the world today concerning what will happen to you unless you protect yourself, unless you make arrangements to avoid spending eternity in torment? I think the God of this world has a lot to do with it. The God of this world is Lucifer, is Satan. It's the devil. And he likes to blind the minds of those who will not believe. Some people don't believe. Had a fellow tell me not long ago that he had witnessed to two of his children, two young men that are very good athletes. And he said, you know, I get the notion my boys think it's cool not to believe. They're free thinkers, he said. He was very distressed about it. And I reminded him, well, you're cast upon the Lord to cry out for mercy for your boys. But it's cruel today in the world not to be caught up in anything that smacks of being saved by the grace of God, having your sins forgiven, being made right with God. I'm a good person. I'm a very good person. I'm a kind person. I'm not like the Pharisees. I share what I have with others. I'm very attentive to the needs of others. But some way, somehow, they circumvent the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow now at the foot of the cross? Would you bow now at the feet of the Son of God, acknowledging I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you make that admission before God the Son, crying out, Lord, have mercy upon me. I would claim your grace in favoring me and providing salvation for me. Now, that's being cool. That's really being smart. That's being wise, because you've made preparation for the future. You are prepared to enter eternity and spend all eternity with God in His heaven, involved in that which delights the heart of God. We like to think that we order our lives today to bring some pleasure to our Creator, and certainly to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We don't always succeed. We're still in the flesh. The world, the flesh, and the devil are very active. And we're told to walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. But this morning, we have to be reminded that though this man had a lot of things going for him, this rich man, I hasten to say, it's not because he was rich that this necessarily happened to him. He could have been very poor, just like, you could reverse this. And you could say, the rich man was the one that acted wisely. And this poor beggar, he could have just in despair thrown up his hands and said, what's the use? I'm a loser. Suffering is what life is all about. And even though he knew that Abraham, the one who indeed is the father of our faith, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. Faith is so important in this matter of God's salvation. So the rich man, he need not be in these circumstances. He chose to be there. He chose to be there. You say, well, perhaps it was just because of his neglect that he was there. Regardless of how he got there, he made a choice not to believe. And our Lord took note of it. As I reminded you at the very outset, remember, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, penned these words, so to speak. They are written in red letters in my Bible. I tell you, the message is written in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, if you read through the scriptures, it is set forth so plain and so simple. The only thing we have to do is cry out, I need it. I'm a needy soul. I'm someone that needs the salvation. I want some peace in my heart. For you can be justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want it? Don't you desire that? Doesn't that have any value for people today? Our Lord could write about these two people, and he could, in a sense, pull back the veil. You know, to look beyond the veil in the temple, inside the veil, was to look upon the Holy of Holies. There's where the high priest once a year went and placed blood upon that altar, sprinkled it there between the cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant. And it had value for staying the hand of God's judgment upon his people. The Lord Jesus Christ is drawing the veil aside and telling us what it's going to be like for those that do not avail them of what God has provided in the way of escape from the judgment of God. In Hebrews, we read these words. It can be a frightening thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And a preacher of long ago altered that a little bit and said, it's a frightening, awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Someone modified that a little bit and said, yes, it's also a dreadful thing for a poor sinner saved by the grace of God to fall into the hands of angry sinners. Some people are rejecting this message. Some people are opposed to this message. As I said, circumvent the cross. If you can let people get beyond the cross and feel comfortable, then oh my, oh, the things that are done today to make people feel comfortable. How many reports have I heard in the course of my life? My preacher told me I was all right. I've known you since you were a child. Your folks were members of this church. You were baptized here. You've been a member here. You've been faithful in your attendance here. Yeah, and you can die and go to hell there too. That was bad advice. That was bad advice. You see, no mention has been made of the cross. No mention has been made of God, who is a just and righteous and loving Father, desiring to save, to rescue the perishing. No mention has been made of that. You're all right because you've conformed to the ways of the world as it is today. The world today is full of religion, more than ever before. Religious systems abound. And not one of them will take you to heaven. Not one of them. I don't care what kind it is, where it comes from, who cooked it up. There's no religion in the world that can take your soul to heaven. Membership in every church on the face of the earth. All the fraternal orders. For someone to say because he belongs to some special group, I feel very comfortable with what I believe. Oh, you do? Well, will you answer one question? Does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into the picture? Not necessarily. He's a good man. I recognize him. I respect him, but not necessarily. I'm a good person. I have no doubt in my mind that this rich man was probably a good person. And he had the means of maintaining a fellowship and a contact with people because of his riches. But you don't know, maybe in the dark recesses of his own heart, he really didn't like the whole idea of being religious or anything about it. God, I'm doing pretty good without God. I don't need God. You'd be surprised how many people feel that way. What do I need God for? What do I need Jesus Christ for? Hey, I'm doing great. I'm prospering. Good job. Good position. Oh, sometimes I cut corners. Sometimes I tell a little white lie. I know one thing for sure. I don't think he ever had any idea in his head that these things would sometimes result in him going to the place he went to. A man that was very popular, a man that had a lot of power politically, told a group of friends, he said, I got them all fooled. I got them all fooled. Someone pointed across the room, you know what his wife was doing? Uh-uh. You may fool a lot of people, I guarantee you're not going to fool her. Your wife is hard to fool. She lives with you. She knows a whole lot more about you, buddy, than you think she does. And I can tell you this, God knows all about you. And you can take a fall. You can take a fall, a deadly fall. This man, thinking perhaps everything's okay, no one is even suspicious that maybe there's some things, some dark things in my life, but I got them fooled. Don't ever be so foolish as to think you'll fool God. He cannot be fooled. The wisdom of God is greater than all the wisdom of all of those that are supposed to be really smart in this world today. The wisdom of God. We've got two people. The Lord pulls the veil aside. Both of them die. I know that doesn't come as a shock to any of us. It's appointed unto men once to die. We're all going to die. We're going to die. Physically, you're a little bit deader every day you live. It just happens that way. Can't do anything about it. They can't stop it. Wouldn't somebody like to stop that? I can stop aging. You'll never grow old. The one that finds that out, I'll tell you right now, the government could borrow some money from him. Because he's going to have it. If he can just stop aging. But it is appointed unto men once to die. Have I left something out? But after that, judgment! After you die, you're going to stand before God. That's what's going to happen. You're going to stand in the presence of God. You ever had a dream and you were naked? You didn't have any clothes on? You were trying to hide. Man, you looked everywhere to try to find somewhere to hide. I don't have any clothes on. How did I ever happen to have a dream like this? Well, you stand in the presence of God after death, and everything's a wide open. He sees all. And he knows all. And when that happened in the lives of these two men, something is disclosed about where the rich man went. It says, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Show me some kindness. If there's any kindness left, if there's any mercy to be had, I need it. I need it. I'm tormented. I'm tormented in this flame. That's bad, isn't it? That is horrible. I've never been severely burned. I went to sleep one time with a cigarette in my hand when I was in the military. When I woke up, there was a blister as big as the top of my finger on that where I went to sleep. You know why I went to sleep? I was intoxicated. I didn't know what I was doing. And listen, I can tell you now, I didn't feel that burn. I felt the after effects, but I'll tell you this, getting burnt is not a pleasant experience. I know some people that have really been burnt, and that is a horrible experience. Well, what about being burnt and it never ends? There's no end to it. If you could be consumed, it would be over. It would be over. But there is no end to it. In fact, it only gets worse. And in just a few moments, I will read to you a passage that I trust will leave no doubt in your mind that anyone, I don't care how good they are, I don't know how many times they've joined the church and been baptized. I don't know how many times they've rededicated themselves to the Lord. If they do not have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Savior and their Lord, they're going to be tormented. Those flames are still burning where this man was. He wanted Lazarus. That's always baffled me. He asked for Lazarus. Tell Lazarus to come, take his finger, put just a drop of water on my tongue. Why in the world did he ask that miserable beggar to come help him? He never even recognized that that poor, miserable man, with all those sores on his body, that he was even lying out there somewhere around his mansion. Send Lazarus. What do you want Lazarus for? He can't help you. And that's what Abraham had to say. This place of rest, this place that God had provided, it's called Abraham's bosom. It's paradise where Abraham is dwelling. Can't do it for a reason. Why? Why? Why can't he? It's a great gulf fixed. It's wider than anything you could ever imagine. It's fixed. It's in place. God put it there, and nobody else can remove it. No one can tamper with that great gulf that is fixed. It's going to stay that way. It's going to stay that way. Lazarus is going to stay where he is. You might say, Abraham, smile when you say this, but you'll have to tell him, you're going to stay where you are too. That's where you are. That's your choice. That's what you decided for your life. You may not recall, but that's what you decided. Yours was perhaps procrastination. Perhaps it was for some other reason, but for some reason, you decided that you didn't want God in your life. And beloved, there are a lot of people in the world today that don't want God meddling in their business. I don't want God messing in my business. I take care of my own business. I run my own life. I seek after the pleasures that I enjoy, and I don't want God messing with me. If you don't think people have that attitude, ask them. And they'll tell you, I'm not a religious person. I don't want God in my life. Take care of myself. Well, if you look at this particular incident and you discover what happens sometimes to people that don't want God in their life, perhaps, and have made other choices, not wise choices, and there's a great gulf fixed, and you don't have to worry about anything. God will be a part of your life because an angry God will judge you. Now why? You have turned your back upon the one sacrifice that would avail for payment of your sin. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's what they said about the Lord Jesus. We will not have that man to rule over us. Don't want him. Hang him up on the cross. Well, even God used the anger, the rage, the hatred, and the bitterness in the heart of a man to achieve his own will. And the Son of God died under the penalty of our sin. Not his sin, our sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Your sin, my sin. No one in the world today could ever say, my sin was not paid for. It was paid for. The world needs to hear that. Why don't they put that in the paper? Why don't they put that on television? God loves you. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your filthy, vile sins. You evil, ignorant, stupid person that you are. The God of this world has blinded your mind lest you believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and that you would be saved and escape the fiery judgment of God. Don't want this man to rule over us. Well, he does something that indeed might surprise you. If I can't get any help, at least I'm thinking about those back home. I got five brothers at home. Every one of them are just like me. They're just like me. Wealthy, perhaps. Got everything cozy, just the way they like it. Will you send Lazarus back and let him witness to them, warn them, and tell them how it is that he stayed out of this place? I asked a friend of mine one time, he was my friend, if you want to go where I'm going when I die, you'll have to do something that I've done. He said, what is that? I said, you must receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your own personal Savior. He said, I got all the religion I want. And as far as I know, that man's in hell today, because he never trusted Christ. He didn't have any time for Jesus Christ. He made a choice. You make a choice. You may not think you're making a choice, but you're making a choice. I'm not going to do anything about it. You've made a choice. I'm not going to address that problem right now. You may never have another opportunity to address that problem. Abraham had to tell him that even if one were to come back from the dead, they wouldn't believe. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, after that experience of raising Lazarus, you know what they tried to do? They tried to kill him and Lazarus too. We'll stop this. This is nonsense, this whole idea of this man going around and pulling whatever it is he's doing. We don't know how he did it, but we don't like it. I told you just a few minutes ago that this man has been in the position he's in for a long time. Say it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was here on the earth. There'll be 7 years of great tribulation here upon the earth. There'll also be 1,000 years of perfect reign upon the earth by the Son of God. But after that 1,000 years, this man has still been in torment all this time. Listen to these words. Revelation chapter 20. I saw a great white throne. Seems like I've heard of that. A great white throne. Yes, a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Works come into play here. Perhaps the degree of punishment that some will suffer. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. People have asked questions about that. Well, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them. The rich man is there. The rich man is there. He's arrived. I wonder if he knew about this. I wonder if this had ever been disclosed to him. This is not the end. Where we are right now, this is not the end. He comes at the end of the road. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell, death and Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is a divine arrangement that God has made in taking care of all of those that have rejected Christ, the Son of God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I've said enough here this morning to save the whole world. The message is so simple. I could go on and on and on. The message is so simple. Don't be a simple-minded fool and say, I'll do that sometime. I'm fully planning to do that. Don't do that. You're being very foolish. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, you trust Him this morning. You say, yes, Lord, I am a poor sinner, and I want what God has provided in the person of His Son for the salvation of my soul. You will be saved. Our Father in heaven, we commit our way to Thee now and thank Thee again for the opportunity of gathering here this morning. Circumstances are so pleasant, Lord. We would pray that every person in this room knows Jesus Christ, your Son, is Lord and Savior. For a girl, man, or woman here this morning, if they don't know Him, Lord, my Lord has pulled back the curtain. They've been able to see what happens to people that leave this life and they have no Savior. God forbid it would ever happen to someone in this room. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.